Martin and Lurgan, you've been holding on for quite a while. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you.
A very interesting debate today. A number of points, first of all, before I get to my own point. Let me say about Saudi Arabia, our so-called, inverted commas, allies. You know, they're not trying for world domination, first of all. You know, ISIS want world domination. So there's no comparison there, I don't think. Although there is, yes, there is a massive bit of work there to be done. But my point is this. When Nazi Germany tried to take over the world, what happened? The rest of the world got together. Even political backgrounds that had no affiliation and nothing in common got together and said, right, we must stop this. That was the only way we were able to stop Nazi Germany from taking over the world. I believe in this situation, the same thing needs to apply. The world leaders, so-called superpowers, need to get together. We need to get our heads around the table and we need to say, right, how do we stop this? That is the only way to stop this. My third point is this. Please forgive me for this. Limbaugh talked about the Western lens. There is no Western lens whenever videos are being put on social media of people like that.
Okay, there's a lot in there. Let's let Limbaugh reply. Okay. Go ahead, Limbaugh.
Yes, of course.
First of all, you make interesting points, and my response is very simple to you. First of all, though there is a Western lens. I do a lot of broadcasting and some broadcasting for a Middle Eastern outfit, and I see, without intending to be biased in one way, I see that I do it too.
I think that what Martin is trying to say in terms of the social media, there are things that come directly from the likes of ISIS, so technically that doesn't come through a media filter, so to speak.
I'm not disagreeing that those actions take place. I'm not challenging that. I'm not suggesting it's made up. It's down to motivation. If we simply say these are madmen who have no motivations that can be negotiated with, well, I just think that's because it's easier for us to say that, and I just don't believe it's true. And the second thing here is, and this is the really hard part. We are partly responsible for this, and some of your callers have said that. If we take away our ambitions there, like the Arab Spring, where I think the West was hoping to have lots of Western-friendly countries all taking over the reins of government, if we take our own self-interest out of this, some of the heat goes away. Let's not forget we were helping militants, many of whom, it's documented, have gone on to be ISIL. We helped to create the problem.
Gregory, can you agree? Can you take anything from what Lambert is saying?
No, I don't think we can. I think there's a fundamental difference between myself and quite a number of callers and Lambert's approach. Lambert's approach appears to be that there is some form of rationalising of the ISIS position.
Yes,
correct. If only we can get them round the table and try and discuss seriously and objectively over a period of time, they may then decide that they don't any longer want to behead people. Now, I think I'm summarising, but I think that's
about right, Gregory. Yes,
Gregory.
Right,
okay. Just going back,
now,
though, Gregory,
my
to the
is that if you sit down at the table, they'll behead you.
But look, Gregory, going back to the earlier discussion where we were talking about the Belfast Telegraph article with Nelson McCausland. When you look back to years and years ago, did you feel like those behind the IRA campaigns, were they rational people? Would you, back 20, 30 years ago, have been happy to sit around a table with them?
No, for the same reason. No, I wouldn't. And that's why I say what you need to do, if you think there is going to be some form of discussion in the future at some point, what you need to do is you need to establish the ground rules. And a fundamental ground rule is, look, is talking to these people going to encourage their violence, or are you going to be able to construct a series of discussions which begin whenever they have accepted the premise that their terror, their murder, their beheading, their undercar booby toss, whatever it is, hasn't worked and isn't going to work.
Gregory,
now, that's a complete distinction.
Gregory, you're absolutely right. That is the question. And you and I draw different conclusions to the answer. I'm saying that if you start speaking with them, then it reduces the risk of violence. You know what? I had a conversation one time with Jerry Kelly in the Jamaica Inn, probably about 10 years ago, and I asked him how he got involved in terrorism and the motivations. And I came to the very clear view, not just from that one conversation, but it really underlined it. If you take motivated people and you take away any legitimate process of negotiation, they'll find another means of expression. That's what happened in Northern Ireland.
But nobody did that.
We're going to bring in Anne. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Finnick.
You want to have a chat with, is it Lambert?
Yeah, I can't believe.
Go ahead, he's listening.
I just cannot believe what I'm listening to. I mean, Lambert just made a statement, 51 years on the planet. I'm going to ask him, what planet? I just cannot believe this. Now, to put the IRA and our war in the same bracket as ISIS. It's absurd. It really, really is. Because the IRA, this was an internal type of war. The IRA did not want to take over the world. They did not want to enforce their religion on everybody else. ISIS does. ISIS won't be happy until every infidel is wiped out, and he needs to understand that.
Greg, or Lambert, you want to respond
well,
to that?
Well, first of all, I'm not trying to provoke you, Anne, but I do feel really? Obliged to sit here and tell you what I think. Of course they're going to say these dramatic phrases like taking over the world or whatever the way they put it. In reality, when you start negotiating, you find compromise. Now, I'm not keen on sitting around a table for the reasons that Gregory suggested to people who are happy to chop other people's heads off, but I'm telling you this, we haven't got a military solution to this problem.
But have you got a
have to have a negotiated
one. Your viewpoint, Lambert, is it very idealistic? Are you really looking at this almost through a Disney lens? That if you talk to these people that blow people up, blow themselves up, they chop people's heads off, they push them off buildings, that if you go and talk nicely to them, then they will want to negotiate with you?
I see it in the opposite way. I think that I'm being the pragmatist here. The idealism is to say, these people want to take over the world. We cannot negotiate with them. We have to bring them to their knees before they start negotiating.
I think that's the naivety.
Naivety.
And is that what you think we need to do? How do you think we should tackle ISIS?
Look, see this, talking to them. It doesn't work. A rabid dog needs to put down. This liberalist attitude is destroying the West. We are under attack.
So do you want to go to war with the man?
Whatever. I mean, you don't have a military solution. Find one before we all end up dead. And that Lambert. March in there with his white flag, if he wants. But don't be asking the rest of us to go with him.
You've annoyed Anne this morning.
I have annoyed you, Anne. And once again, it's back to the conversation I was having with Gregory. I'm not sitting here feeling particularly comfortable saying let's negotiate with people who are willing to chop your head off. But Anne,
the Northern Ireland troubles, Lambic. It's nothing to do with okay.
us. Well, they're two different troubles, but the psychology of human beings all over the world is the same.
Let's try and keep the conversation going. Anne, thank you. Gregory's had to go as well, by the way, but we are still taking calls. 030 30 80 55 55. Charlie, good morning.
Morning, Vinny. Interesting conversation there. I'm just listening to Lambert, and I would like to pick his brains there. He's talking about negotiating with these guys. He's talking about compromising and stuff there. Lambert, say you, for talk's sake, did get into negotiations with ISIS in whatever capacity, and you say to them, right, what do you want? And they turn around and say to you, we want Sharia law in the UK for a start. Would you give them that?
No, I wouldn't, but at least I'd be talking. That's the great question. Again, the mechanism of negotiation is complex. There are plenty of examples of it. South Africa and Northern Ireland, two good examples. Once you say, what do you want? Once you get an answer, you've started the dialogue. And that dialogue, I think, even for people willing to die for their cause, is preferable to actually carrying out those death activities.
How would you defend that, Lambert? How would you defend their aggression? And because there's already Sharia courts in London. And I personally think it's only a matter of time before Europe and the UK.
I want to keep the calls going on this. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Funny.
Go ahead.
And there's a couple of points. When I make a first point is you keep comparing ISIS to what the IRA did in Northern Ireland, you know, and making similarities between them two things. Totally different altogether. And if you only start comparing, you could look at the Schenkel Bunker stuff. Also, you've Gregory Campbell on there. And the hypocrisy is absolutely laughable.
Of course, though, we can't paint the history of the troubles here either with rose-tinted glasses. You know, we have to look at them. There was a lot of atrocities there as well.
There was a lot of atrocities, but if you only start making comparisons to ISIS, you got to look at ISIS are religious fundamentalists who want to impose their religious beliefs on people. Look at the gay blood bank here. Look at other examples where the DUP have taken out futile court cases. They try and impose their religious beliefs on everybody else in this country. You know, if you're only going to start comparing, you know, just look at the Schenkel Butchers and what they did. And look at
There's a lot of very extreme comparisons you've drawn there, Sean. Some people will think that, you know, you're comparing chalk and cheese. But thank you anyway. Jim as well. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, good morning, Vinny and Lambert.
Hi.
The first sort of question you need to ask yourself, who are you going to talk to? And what you need to realise, ISIS are taking the headlines, but this is a worldwide issue. There's been ongoing problems throughout the world. You've Philippines, there's been an issue there for the last 30-odd years, people wanting an Islamic State in the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand. There's been thousands killed in southern Thailand, right up to Burma. Even there, look at India. And Pakistan broke away to get an Islamic State there. Right across the Middle East, just a tinderbox. Then you have Russia, where they're looking for an Islamic State there. Then come across to Europe, they're looking for an Islamic State in different
countries. So, Jim, do you think we can, as Lambert says, can we negotiate with them?
Who are you going to negotiate with? For 30-odd, 40 years, the people in these countries, the Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand...
So how do you find the leader, Lambert? Where do you go to even begin this kind of negotiation?
What you do is you challenge them to negotiate, and immediately that will create a hierarchy. It will. I mean, that's what happened here.
The people in these countries, the people in Thailand, Malaysia... Indonesia, the Philippines. They've been discussing with the terrorists in those countries the last 34 years.
Wait a minute. These are all different circumstances. I'm not sitting here.
The outcome they're looking for, Olympic.
I'm not sitting here.
The same outcome.
I'm not sitting here saying that we can solve all of those problems in one fell swoop. What I am saying is, if you say, we want you to start negotiating with us, that will start creating a hierarchy and create some kind of a structure we can negotiate with. It is disparate, but we're trying to reduce the problem. We won't eliminate the problem, but we can
reduce it. We're going to move on shortly, and we'll come back to callers on this later on. Jim,
the last 30 years.
Jim, thank you. We'll come back to this later on. Last caller on this for now. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. I have a more basic worry about this. It's the religion aspect. I mean, the Islamic religion or the Muslim religion, even many years ago, was putting prices on people's head. In particular, I can think of, you know, the fatwa that was put on Salman Rushdie. So, I mean, if you've got the leaders of a so-called religion... So
this is obviously the extremists that we're talking about this morning, Paul.
I mean, these are people.
There's obviously there's a difference. There's a difference, though, Paul, between people that speak, they talk and they say certain things, and people that behead people. So we need to make sure we draw that comparison.
There are
millions of good Muslims, and we can't. Let's not just tar everyone with the same brush.
Why aren't you saying, the Christian faith is terrible because Tony Blair's a Christian and he supported an invasion in Iraq? Why do you describe the work of this group as religious, but you don't think that Christian countries condemn Christianity for our invasion and activity in Afghanistan and Iraq?
My point is quite simple. When you have the head of a religion, the Ayatollah Khamenei, for example, putting a price on someone's head, if the Pope was to do that, or the head of a Protestant church was to do that, there would be an absolute outcry.
Well, we did do that with Osama bin Laden.
Acceptable.
There was a price on Osama bin Laden's head.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much. Thanks to Gregory Campbell as well. Len, but just before you go, one thing that this is making me think of is recent conversations I've had with people that would say to me now they feel safer in Northern Ireland than they had beforehand. Do you think is there a fairly high chance of something like the attack we've seen in France coming here?
There is a chance of it. I think that the United Kingdom has been partly protected by the accident of geography known as the English Channel. France has got an enormous and undefendable border, which is thousands of miles long, with the rest of connected to the rest of the European Union. So, in a practical sense, we've been lucky.
But I mean, in Northern Ireland, in terms of the UK,
I think Northern Ireland. I don't want to tempt fate, but I think Northern Ireland is in a relatively safe position compared to other parts of the world. But you know what? What's most interesting about this whole discussion is that we have been through this here, and we found a solution, and we discovered that former terrorists were not very different to anybody else. We seem to have forgotten that in this situation. Northern Ireland is probably, as I say, it's so risky to say these things because it'll get thrown back at us if we get it wrong. But I think Northern Ireland isn't in the immediate line of fire. We've had our share of trouble. I just wish that the whole of the UK and the West would learn from that.